Today's shiur is dedicated for Refuah Shleima, for Shalom and Bracha. Today's shiur is Masechta Nedarim, Daf Lamed Zayin, and we will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Lamed Vav Amud Beis. Five lines from the bottom of the Gemara. We had learned in the Mishnah that if somebody made a neder, that somebody else won't benefit from him. The halacha we learned in the Mishnah was that melamdai merish halachas v'agadus. He may teach him merish halachas v'agadus, avlo yilamdai mikra. But he may not teach him chumash. Ask the Gemara, mikra may tam lo yilamdai. Why is chumash singled out that he may not teach him chumash? Answers the Gemara, b'shem dekumahanile. By teaching him chumash, he's giving him benefit. He's teaching him Torah. So of course, that's the biggest benefit, says the Gemara. So if that's the concern, that he's teaching him, and that's considered benefiting him, and it's interesting that the Shach points out that this Gemara is obviously referring, he says, to a situation where he's teaching him Torah and not getting paid for it. However, if you were to get paid for it, that would not be considered benefit. If I'm paying you for the service that you're providing me, that's not considered a benefit. The Tosfos Rid, and that's the Shach, how the Shach learns that the Ran in our Gemara holds. The Tosfos Rid disagrees, and the Karen Iris says that the Tosfos Rid disagrees. And his opinion is that even if you're teaching him Torah and you're getting paid for it, that's still considered that you're getting paid for it, that you're getting benefit, says the Gemara. Our Mishnah is referring to a situation that people get paid to teach Chumash, but they don't get paid for Medrash. And therefore, he may teach him Medrash because he's not benefiting him, because everybody's teaching Medrash for free. So I don't gain by being taught Medrash for free. But Mikra, because is something that they used to get paid for, and the fact that I'm, who you may not benefit from, I'm teaching you Chumash for free, that's why you're benefiting, that you don't have to pay me for those lessons. Ask me my Pascha. Why, ask the Gemara, does the Mishnah speak specifically about such a case that the Chumash they get paid for, Chumash got paid for, and Medrash they go pay, they don't get paid for, says the Gemara. Hakamashmon, that feel by makom shneitlan schar, that even in a place where they get paid for teaching free, for teaching Torah, al mikra shor lemishkol. Even that's a feel in a place that they take pay, they get paid al mikra shor lemishkol. You're only allowed to get paid for teaching chumash. But for teaching Medrash, you may not get paid. In other words, the way to assure him, the way the Ran explains this Gemara, that even though one, as the Gemara is going to teach us soon, should be allowed to get paid for teaching Chumash as well, there were places that they were machmon themselves and they learned Chumash for free. Why? That they shouldn't come to get paid for Medrash. And therefore, in such a place, says the Ran, you would actually be allowed to teach Chumash as well, because you're not benefiting this person, because he doesn't pay for getting to teach Chumash, because they don't get paid for Chumash. However, the Gemara says that even in a place where they're not Machmer, and they get paid for teaching Chumash, and therefore, in such a place, you're not allowed to teach him Chumash for free, because you're benefiting him, he's saving paying for learning Chumash. Medrash, since nobody gets paid, says the Gemara, for getting paid to teach Medrash, that's why you're allowed to teach Medrash. And that's because, even though, of course, points out the Ran, that I'm still benefiting. The person is being taught. Teaching Medrash, but isn't the person learning Medrash? He's learning something, and I was the one that caused that he should be able to learn. So why should it not be Asur? So the Ran applies a concept that we've mentioned many times in Ashurim, mitzvahs lav lehenes nitnu. Mitzvahs, teaching somebody Torah is a mitzvah, and by mitzvahs we have a klal that mitzvahs lahav lehenes nitnu, and therefore it's not a payment. Moreover, says the Ran, that even though we're learning the Gemara, and we're going to speak about this more in a moment, that you're not allowed to get paid to teach Medrash, that's only for the actual learning. For the actual teaching, you're not allowed to get paid for Medrash. But, says the Ran, the Gemara does agree that you're allowed to get paid for Schar B'Teila. Schar B'Teila means that that time, the person who's teaching Torah could have done something else, and you're preventing him from doing something else. But Tosfos points out that Schar B'Teila for such a case is only in a case where it's obvious that Schar B'Teila, where it's obvious that the person who's teaching the Medrash is an individual who has a job, and everybody knows that he could have been working at that time. But if it's not Schar B'Teila de Muchach, where it's not obvious that I have Schar B'Teila, says Tosfos that that's not mutar. Ask the Gemara, Maishna Medrash Deloy. So ask the Gemara, why may somebody not get paid to teach Medrash? The Ksib, because the Pasuk says that Vayosi Tziv Hashem Eisahi Lelamed Eschem, the Ksib, Rei Lamarati Eschem Chukam Mishpatim Kash Tzvane Hashem, says Moshe Rabbeinu, Ma Ani Bechinam, just like I taught you and didn't get any pay for teaching you, Af Atam Nam Bechinam, you too may not get paid for teaching Torah. So ask the Gemara, if that's the reason that you're not allowed to get paid, so why Mikra Nami Michinam? So the halacha ought to be that I should not be allowed to get paid for Chumash either. But we just learned in the Gemara that for Chumash, you're allowed to get paid. There's a very big machlokes Rishonim, how to learn this limud where the Gemara is teaching us that you're not allowed to get paid for teaching Torah. The Ran and Tosfos say that Moshe Rabbeinu was declaring that just like I taught Torah to Klal Yisrael and I did not get paid for teaching Torah to Klal Yisrael, so too when Klal Yisrael and future generations will teach Torah, the halacha is they're not allowed to get paid for teaching Torah. That's the way. Another pshat the Ran learns is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling Moshe Rabbeinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling Moshe Rabbeinu that you should not get paid for teaching Torah. And that's what the Pasuk means, says the Ran. When the Pasuk says, Kasha Tzivani Hashem Elokai, Moshe Rabbeinu was saying that Hashem told me that I may not get paid for teaching Torah, and that becomes the halacha for all future generations. Tosfos says that even though the Pasuk does not say that Moshe Rabbeinu taught Torah for free, but the Gemara is assuming that Moshe Rabbeinu taught Torah for free. The Gemara would find it difficult that Moshe Rabbeinu got paid. And that's why Tosfos says, Moshe Rabbeinu was saying that I didn't get paid, and so too in future generations people shouldn't get paid. So Tosfos asks that we learned the Gemara Masechta Ksubas Daf Kuf Vav Amud Aleph, that people who teach Hilchas Shechita, Hilchas Kemitza, used to get paid from the Trumas HaLishka, the fund in the Beis HaMikdash, from which Kabbonis Tzibur came. They used that money to teach people to learn how to do Shechita and Kemitza, etc. So what's Pshat? So he says, so Tosfos says that if somebody, full-time job, is to teach Torah, even though we're learning the Gemara, Ma'ani Bechinam, Av'atam Bechinam, if that's somebody what he does all the time, he has to get paid. How's he supposed to live? Our Gemara is talking about a situation where the person is teaching Torah, he gives a shiur, but it's not what he's doing all the time. Since it's not what he's doing all the time, the halacha is that he's not allowed to get paid for it. So I saw a beautiful pshat in this Gemara from the Bava Rebbe Zatzal. He quotes the Gemara Nevuchim. He says, the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in his infinite wisdom and kindness, created the world, he created the world that what is more necessary and required for our existence, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it more available. He says that the thing that we all need to exist is air. So a person cannot exist for a moment without air. But he says HaKadosh Baruch Hu made that air is available everywhere, and you don't have to pay for air. Water is also necessary, not as necessary as air, but water is quite available and not expensive. Food is less necessary than water. That's why food is not as available as food. He said, a Jewish child cannot live without Torah. Torah is the oxygen for us to exist. So he says, since Torah is the oxygen for us to exist, so just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he says, created the world, that there's air available everywhere. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Ma'ani b'chinam v'atam b'chinam, that you should have Torah available for free, that every Jewish child should be able to have Torah available to him. The Sefer Lashon Lamudim explains that we're going to learn in our coming Shiurim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Moshe Rabbeinu the Torah, and he kept on forgetting it until HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him the Torah as a matana, as a gift. So we see from here, says the Sefer Lashon Lamudim, that the only way for a person to be successful in Limud HaTorah is man is to get it for free. Just like Moshe Rabbeinu got the Torah for free, so too we could only get Torah for free. Rav Shach Zatzal used to quote Rav Issa Zalman Meltzer Zatzal. He says, we say in the Zmiris Friday night, in the Zmiris Ma Yedidos, we say, V'tinak l'lamda sefer l'natzeach minginos. What's the connection between the Lamdei Sefer that we teach children a Sefer to Lamtseich Beginos? So he quotes Al Gemar that says, Ma ani b'chinam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, just like I didn't take payment for teaching Torah, af atem b'chinam, but we're going to learn that to teach how to say the Tamim, how to read, that we're allowed to. Says the Gemara, Tinek Lamdei Sefer, when are we allowed to get paid? When we teach a child, Lam Natseach bin Ginois, when we teach children to sing to be able to express the trop. Under other circumstances, we're not allowed to get paid. So I saw that the Pesach can point out that even though when we're learning that this is a place where one doesn't get paid for teaching Torah, he's still accomplishing something. He's still teaching him Torah. So he said that we mitzvah lav lahenes nitnu. And since mitzvah lav lahenes nitnu, I'm not really gaining. Nobody's gaining just for teaching if there's no financial benefit involved. Says the Taz that even though the Ran here applied the concept, a mitzvah lav lahenes nitnu, the truth is, he says, that Torah is different than all other mitzvahs. And even though by all other mitzvahs, there is no hanah for fulfilling a mitzvah, but when it comes to learning Torah, the pasuk says, B'kudei Hashem Yishar Mesam Chelev. So we see that Torah is connected to Mesam Chelev, to Simcha. And that's why the halach is on a Tisha B'Av, or one of Rechman Tzlan is an Avelis. They're not allowed to learn Torah, because Torah comes with Simcha. So if that's the case, ask the Taz, how could the Ran say that there's no benefit for teaching Torah, even though there's an enjoyment of learning Torah, mitzvah lav lahenes nitnu, when we see b'kudei Hashem b'sar melatzam chalev. Says the Taz, what the Ran means to say is that even though Torah, of course, has simcha, but it doesn't have an attachment that we could say it's worth a certain amount of money. And since we can't attach to it a value of learning, that's since I can't attach a value to it, that's why it's not considered even though we don't say mitzvah lav lahenes nitnu, it's you're allowed to teach him Torah if there's no financial benefit. So ask the Gemara, why if there's an issa to teach Torah from pay, why mikra do you get paid? Answers the Gemara, Rav Oma Schashimer. the people who teach Torah are not getting paid for learning, for teaching Torah. We're not allowed to get paid for teaching Torah. We're getting paid for taking care of the children. And therefore, explains Tosfos, as we'll see in the Gemara, that it's only by children where you're allowed to get paid for teaching Torah, because that's when there's a schar shimer. But if you're teaching adults, then there's no schar shimer. They could take care of themselves. Rav Yochanan Amar, the reason you're allowed to get paid for teaching Torah is schar pisuk tamim. As we said a moment ago, you get paid for teaching them how to lay, which the Gemara at this point says, the Gemara at this point assumes, is not really considered teaching Torah. And since it's not considered teaching Torah, it's not Torah Midraisa, that's why you're allowed to get paid for it. And of course, the Rishayim will point out, what's going to be the nafkamina between these two pshatim? If you're teaching an adult, there is no schar shimer. As we said, he's an adult. But if it's teaching, if the reason is schar pisuk tamim, then you could teach even an adult, because we're learning now that pisuk tamim is not considered a deraisa. And since pisuk tamim is not considered a deraisa, that's why such Torah may be taught to somebody else. This Shulchan Aruch Rav makes a very interesting point. He says that it could be that teaching Kochim and Taharis, those Masechtas that we know unfortunately are not relevant Bizman Azeh, the halacha is maybe those halachas you could get paid for. Because since there's nothing that's relevant Bizman Azeh, unfortunately, from that, that's why an argument can be made that for that you should be allowed to get paid. There's an interesting shaila that I saw for a Baruch Ber. A Baruch Ber, our Gemara very clearly has been differentiating between Torah Shebiksav and Torah Shebal Peh. And the Gemara is saying that Torah Shebiksav, given the circumstances, we could teach. So the question that a Baruch Ber once posed was, the reason that we're rather like Torah Shebal Peh b'zman hazeh is because Eis Lassus L'Hashem Aferi Torah Secha. Torah Shebiksav is really something that shouldn't be put into writing, but Rebbe already saw that if we're not going to put into writing, it's going to get forgotten. And the halacha is, what will be the halacha? So the Baruch Ber asked, what will be the halacha when Mashiach comes? And then, Baruch Hashem, our memory will work as it's supposed to be working. And what will be the halacha? Will all of those svarim have to be put away? Now we can learn Torah Shebapeh. So he quoted, Rav Baruch Ber quoted the son of Rav Chaim Brisker, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik Zatzal. He says that Rav Moshe Soloveitchik said that once the Sefer was written beheter, when we write svarim, shas and all svarim, bezman hazeh, so we, as we just said, there's a heter to write them, because Eis Lassus L'Hashem Aferi Torah Secha, even when Mashiach comes, and we won't need that, it'll remain that we have a heter to have those svarim remain. Tanan, ask the Gemara. The Gemara proves from our Mishnah to Rabbi Yochanan's point. We learned in our Mishnah Yom Denim Mikra, Bishlam Amandama Scha Pisuk Tanim, that when we speak about Mikra, we mean teaching him the Tamim. That's why we're not allowed to get paid, because you get paid for that, and that's called a benefit. But if we're saying, when we're speaking about getting paid to teach Chumash, we're talking about getting paid for taking care of the child, says the Gemara, our Mishnah is speaking about people who made Nedarim. So our Mishnah, when it's speaking about people who made Nedarim, are presumably referring to individuals who are adults. So ask the Gemara, Gadolt, God Bashimahu, as we explained a few moments ago, that adults, there's no schar shimer, but by adults, there is schar pisuk tamim. But what is the schar pisuk tamim that's involved when we're teaching adults? There's no schar shimer. And it says, the Gemara, the Katan Ketani. Our Mishnah is talking about a cotton, and that's where the neder is addressed, and the payment that we're talking about by chumash is schar shimur. E cotton. Ask the Gemara if we explain that our Mishnah speaking about a cotton. Amos Sefer. Let's continue learning the Mishnah. Amol Amos Benov Mikro. Ask the Gemara. You'll have to teach this child of the person who made the nether chumash. Ask the Gemara. Cotton bar bonim hu. But if we're talking about children, do children have children? Answers the Gemara. Chsurim echsvach ktani. This is the way we have to understand the Mishnah. Lo yeh medana mikro be cotton. If the person who's not allowed to benefit from me is a child, I may not teach him chumash, because as we learned, there is a financial a value to that. Em ha yagodl, but if he's a godl, melam doy loy, he's allowed to teach him chumash ulabonov, and even his children maybe taught chumash, because since he's a godl doesn't need to be watched, and therefore they're not getting paid. If they're not getting paid, there is no financial value. And the children, even though they do need shimur, and as we're learning now, when the children need shimur, you're allowed to get paid. If somebody's teaching the children chumash, not because he wants to get paid, but he's doing it because he wants to teach the children chumash, l'shei mitzvah, even though the parent is having a benefit, and the parent is a person that you're not allowed to be benefiting, but it's not a direct benefit. And since it's not a direct benefit, that's why it's mutter. So the Gemara asks another question on the opinion of Rav that says that the reason you get paid for chumash is for schar shimur. Meisvei, the Braisa says, "Ktinoikis lo karim b'tchil b'Shabbos." We don't teach the children chumash the first time on Shabbos. Al shoinen b'rishon. But we could review what they already studied. Says the Gemara, Bishlam Schar Pisuk Tamim. According to Mandama that we teach children Schar Pisuk Tanim, Hanu Dein Karim B'Tchila. Because the first time you teach them is the time that involves much work. And therefore, if you're teaching them on Shabbos, you're getting paid for teaching on Shabbos, which is Asur. El Mandama, according to the Mandama, Rav's opinion, then what am I getting paid for? I'm getting paid when I teach Chumah, Schar, Shimur. So why is there different? Am I Enkoyim B'Tchil B'Shabbos or Am I Shana B'Rishon? Why should there be a difference between the first time they're being taught or the second time they're being taught? And both times, I'm getting paid for watching the child. It doesn't make a difference if I'm teaching them the first time. It does make a difference the first time or the second time. I'm teaching them and I'm working on taking care of them, which is also in Shabbos. So why is this braisa differentiate between the first time and the second time according to the Mandam who says Chiyashima? Says the Gemara. Ul Tamech. But you explained that the first time you understood why you may not teach. Why is the first time you understood that you may not teach? Because that involves Tircha. And that you're not allowed to do on Shabbos. Reviewing what you already did is not a Tircha, and that's why it's Mutter. Ask the Gemara, Tameich, Schar Pisuk B'Shabbos Miyasur, is to teach even the first time the Tamim also on Shabbos, aren't you getting paid by Havlah? Havlah means that you're being paid for a whole week. And the Halacha is that even though you're not allowed to get paid for working on Shabbos, but if you get paid a weekly salary, that is mutter. Ask the Gemara, because Ashlo Mishashari, paying him for a whole week's salary is mutter. The Tanya Soichas Apai Lishmer Satinek, if you hire a worker to watch your children, Lishmer Sapara, you want to watch the Parah Aduma, the Aloch is that a Parah Aduma is only kosher to be used for a par, to be only used for a Parah Aduma. If oil, if nothing ever came on it. So they used to have to pay workers to make sure that nothing ever happened to that, nothing ever fell on that parah. And it was a 7-day a week job. Or Lismar Esazroim. The halach is that they used to plant oimer, barley, to be brought on the second day as Pesach as the carbon oimer. And the halach is that they used to watch that this, that the field should be used, be available for Omer. And as the Rishonim would point out, particularly when it's a Shemitah year, they had to make sure that nobody's going to take that grain, that barley for themselves. The loch is, Lishmas Apar, Lishmas Azroim, Ein Noisen Loischar Shabbos, we're not allowed to pay them specifically for Shabbos. Lefikach, therefore our loch is, Im Avdu, if something happened on Shabbos to the things that they're watching, and a chai b'chuyuson, they're not going to be held responsible. Because we know what our loch is, that a shoy mechinam is not responsible for geneva and aveda. V'ma yischar Shabbos, if he gets paid by the week, schir chodesh, he gets paid by the month, schir shani, he gets paid by the year, schir shua, he gets paid once every 7 years, nois lo yischar Shabbos, he is allowed to be paid Shabbos salary, because it's being paid by avloh. And as the Rishonim point out, the whole halacha that you're not allowed to get paid for working on Shabbos is only with Rabbanon. And therefore, since it's only a Rabbanon, Chazal were lenient that if you're getting paid by Havlo, it's mutter. Lefikach, avdo chayu abachar yoson, so you're no longer a schar, you're no longer a shay mechinam. And since if you're not a shay mechinam, therefore you get allowed to get paid. So we see that we can't say that the Isser to teach somebody, a child, something new is on Shabbos is because you're getting paid for working on Shabbos. Because as we're learning now, if you're getting paid by Avlah, there is no problem in getting paid for Shabbos. And since there's no problem for getting paid for Shabbos, so we again need to understand why is the halacha that you're allowed to teach, you're not allowed to teach a child on Shabbos something new, but you're allowed to teach you're allowed to review something that you already taught. There's an interesting machloikus rishonim. Here we're saying that one may not get paid tzchar Shabbos, one may not get paid for working on Shabbos. The question is, what about if you're doing a dvar mitzvah? If you're doing something which involves a mitzvah, are you allowed to get paid tzchar Shabbos? In other words, if somebody is a balkire on Shabbos, if somebody is a chazan on Shabbos, so the Rishonim, the Torah, in Archaim Simon Tuf Kof Pehei, quotes Rishonim that say the Isser of Schar Shabbos that we're discussing doesn't apply by Dvar Mitzvah. There are other Rishonim who say that it applies by Dvar Mitzvah. And again, the explanation is because if it's a Dvar Mitzvah, since the whole Isser of Schar Shabbos is only a Derabbanon, that's why we're more lenient. So the Taz asks, if according to the Rishonim, this is the Taz in Aruchayim Simon, Tuf Kof Pei Sif Katan Zayin, if the halacha is the Bayadvar Mitzvah, there is no problem with Schar Shabbos, why did our Gemara raise this issue here? We're talking about getting paid to teach Torah on Shabbos. Certainly, teaching Torah is a Dvar Mitzvah. So why is there an issue here? So the Taz answers, the where do we say there's a heter dvar mitzvahs, where it's a mitzvah which is Shabbos related, about Kairi on Shabbos, about Takeh Rosh Hashanah. Teaching Torah is not a Shabbos related mitzvah. And since it's not a Shabbos related mitzvah, there we don't have the heter of dvar mitzvah. Another explanation is that, of course, even when it's a dvar mitzvah, if it's possible to do it by Havlah, we do it by Havlah. So somebody is teaching children all week long. If somebody's teaching children all week long, so we could pay him once a week. We don't have to pay him for Shabbos separately. And that's why the Gemara says you could pay him by Havlah. But somebody who blows the shofar from Rosh Hashanah. So the halacha is on Rosh Hashanah, you have to get paid. You have to blow shofar. There is no mitzvah to blow shofar any other day. Since there's no mitzvah blowing shofar any other day, there is no way of Havlah, and since there is no other way, there is no option of Havlah, and it is a Dvar Mitzvah, that's why you're allowed to pay for Shabbos separately. But of course, when there's an opportunity, when there's an option not to pay for Shabbos, then the halacha is that you should not pay for Shabbos alone. But in discussing this halacha of Havlah, the Ramah, in Eirachayim Simon Shinvav Sif Dalid, says that when we say that we're paying him by the week, by the month, as the Gemara just said, it means that he's getting a salary weekly. The worker is getting paid wages on a weekly basis. But if somebody's getting paid on a daily basis, but the way he's getting paid, that he works by the day, but the employer doesn't pay him every day, he pays him once a week, once a month, whatever, that's not considered havlah. Havlah means that the way the salary is set up is he gets paid by for a number of days at one time. There is an interesting question that the Shos Yaakov discusses. Let's say if he's getting paid by the way the salary was established, there's a daily rate, which is paid once a week. That Shos Yaakov says that if he could be let go in the middle of the week, so that as long as he wasn't let go in the middle of the week, so he's getting paid for the whole week, even though it was set up on a daily basis, it's still called Havlah. It's a very big Chiddush. Furthermore, when we speak about getting paid that way, what's going to be the Havlah if you're working on the American system? And the American system is you get paid from 12 a.m. tonight to 12 a.m. tomorrow night. So if that's the case, those 24 hours don't always have Shabbos. Shabbos ends before 12 a.m. So therefore, maybe that would be considered that you're not getting paid only for Shabbos, because Shabbos doesn't include, the hours that you're working don't only include Shabbos. So we're back to our question. Why could you teach something new in Shabbos, but you can't review something? Says the Gemara, Gabbai Shabbos, Hayinu Tama, Dein Karim B'Tchila. The reason something new may not be taught on Shabbos, we want that the fathers of the children should be available to learn with them on Shabbos. And if on Shabbos they're learning new studies, so the father is very concerned, the parents are very concerned that they shouldn't allow the children not to be in yeshiva, and the parents want to have an opportunity to spend time with the children. Moreover, Durant says, if they're learning something new, it takes time to absorb something new, and therefore what's going to happen is it's going to take time till they finish their studies. And since it's going to take time until they finish their studies, the halach is that the parents are going to have to wait until they come home from yeshiva, and they're going to delay eating the Suda Shabbos. We know that on Shabbos we're supposed to eat and drink. And since we're supposed to eat and drink on Shabbos, they can't concentrate properly. That eating too much or living a different lifestyle causes illness. So since on Shabbos we don't eat like we eat all week long, so therefore there's a concern that they're not going to be able to study something new. And since there's a concern they're not going to be able to study something new, we avoid teaching new things on Shabbos. And in fact, I saw that that's the reason the Gemara says that the minig of Shammai was that he ate every day L'kavod Shabbos. He bought something new, and he would say he's putting it away for Shabbos. And then he found something nice, so he said, I'll eat that for Shabbos. I'll put that away for Shabbos. All the food that he ate was food that he could eat on Shabbos. Why was all the food that he ate food that he could eat on Shabbos? Because the Gemara just taught us that that Shabbos, if you eat different food, you're going to get sick. And since you're going to get sick, but if you always eat the same type of food during the week as you eat on Shabbos, we don't have that concern. Furthermore, I saw that this is the basis for the minig why in the summer we learn Pirkei Avos Shabbos afternoon. Because we're learning now that on Shabbos people don't necessarily feel that well. And since on Shabbos they don't feel that well, we learn Pirkei Avos, which is something easy to learn. There are those that disagree, and they say that the Mechzalozer and the Chidah discuss this and says that on Shabbos is the day where people are available to learn. And since Shabbos is the day that people are available to learn, on the contrary, they have the time and the ability and they're not busy with other things, so on the contrary, they should spend Shabbos learning. Says the Gemara, Ulamanda, so now we go back, we've been learning two reasons why somebody's allowed to get paid to teach Chumash. One was because of Schar Pisuk Tamim, because you're not teaching the actual Chumash, you're just teaching how to lane. And the other reason was Schar Shimur, you're getting paid for watching the children. Ask the Gemara, or the Mandam, Schar Pisuk Tamim, the Mandam that said the reason is because Schar Pisuk Tamim, that's why you're allowed to get paid. Ask the Gemara, my Tamil am Schar Shimur, why didn't he give the reason Schar Shimur? Ksava, says the Gemara, bonus me by Shimur, the girls need to be watched. So the halacha is that girls, you should not be allowed to get paid to teach Chumash. And the Mishnah says that you're not allowed to teach them Chumash, and it doesn't differentiate between boys and girls. So we see, he says, that has nothing to do with Shimur. Ask the Gemara, well, the Mandam is Schar Shimur, and the Mandam that says that the reason you get paid to teach Chumash is you're getting paid for the Schar Shimur. Ask the Gemara, my Tam Alayam is Schar Pisuk Tamim. Why didn't he say the reason is that you're getting paid to teach the Trop? Says the Tamim, says the Gemara, Ksover, his opinion is, Pisuk Tamim, that we're supposed to, the Pisuk Tamim that we lay, that we read the Torah with, Daraisahi, is considered Daraisa. And since it's considered Daraisa, that's why it's something that they aren't taught. Says the Shas Chuvas Silmas Chaim, based on this Gemara. Where our Gemara says that girls, Bonois, Bashimrahim, the girls need to be watched. So he says, from here we see that it is within the nature, he says, of girls, within the nature of girls, that they are more tsunua. They don't need that. They're better behaved, and they don't have to run, and they don't run around, and therefore there's no need for teaching them, for paying to watch them. Says the Gemara. So he holds the Pisuk Tamim is the Raisa. Where does he take that from? Says the Gemara, Domer of Ika Barav and Omer of Chanan al Marav, Maidik Siv, the Pasuk says in the Chemya, Vikar Besefa Torah Solakim, Mefirush, the Sam Seichel Vivina Bemukra. And the Gemara explains this Pasuk. Vikar Besefa Torah Solakim, Zumikra. They learned actually what it says in the Pasuk. Mefirush said Targum, the Targum which explains it. So the Gemara Masechta Megillah asks that we know the Targum is called Targum Unklus. But ask the Gemara Masechta Megillah, Daf Gimel Amud Aleph, from here we see that it was given to Moshe B'Sinai. So the Gemara says that it was indeed originally given to Moshe Rabbeinu on Sinai. It was forgotten, and it was Unklus that brought it back. Mefar is the Targum, Sham Seichel El Apsukim, where to know where Pasuk begins and ends. Vivino Mikra is a Pisuk Tamim. The Pisuk Tamim is to the Tamim that we're speaking about. Vamrelay, and some say Elu Hamasiris, the words that are spelled missing letters or extra letters. So, but according to this Man D'Amar, that we see that Pisuk Tamim is indeed the Raisa. And the question is that many Achronim discuss, what happens if somebody was reading the Torah and he read the Torah with the wrong tamim or without tamim? The question is, do you have to read over that pasuk? Says the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Arachaim Siman Kofei Sif Aleph, that if somebody is reading the Torah and he makes a mistake, then we have to repeat the word. However, the Ramah says that if the mistake was made in the Tamim, then the halacha is that we don't have to repeat the word. But the Mishnah Berurah, quoting in Sifkot and Dalet, quoting the Sefer Shulchan Atzei Shittim, says that the Ramah's Psak is only in a situation where if you missed the Pisuk Tamim, the explanation of the Pasuk, or if you read the wrong Tamim, doesn't get altered. But in a situation that it gets changed, then even though it was only a mistake in the Tamim, you would have to repeat the Pasuk. The Bach, however, disagrees, and he says that the halacha is that by Pisuk Tamim, you never have to repeat the Pasuk. The Gra differentiates between Mikra Megillah, and Mikra Torah. He says by Mikra Torah, Their halacha is that if missing the tamim or reading the wrong tamim changes the pshat in the pasuk, you have to repeat it, but not by the Megillah. And that's the way the Sefer Rav Moshe Sternberg Shlita and the Tshuva Sven Hoggis Paskin says that was what Rav Chaim Briska Paskined as well. The Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach says an interesting psak. He says that if the Baal Kairi makes a mistake once in a while with the piece of tamim, we don't make him do it over. But if somebody does so on a regular basis, then the halach is he should be repeating it. Ramosha, the Shas Chusig Ramosha Arachaim Chel Gimel Simin Yotes, says he has a question. We could have a Baal Kairi who could read from the Sefer Torah, but he's not really an expert Baal Kairi, so he doesn't read with the Tamim. Or we could have somebody who will have a Chumash on the side, and he keeps on looking into the Chumash and then looking into the Sefer Torah, but by looking in the Chumash, he'll see the Tamim, and when he'll read from the Torah, he'll read with the proper Tamim. What is better to do? So Moshe says it's actually better not to have the Chumash on the side, because he says that the Tamim are not absolutely essential. But reading not from the Sefer Torah, reading from the Chumash is wrong. And therefore, he says it's better if you could read from the Chumash, you know at least the proper pronunciation, and you know where the pasuk begins and ends, is better, says Rav Moshe, than reading in a fashion where you keep on looking at Chumash and looking into the Sefer Torah. Says the Gemara, going into this concept of reading the words of the Torah, Amar Yitzchak Mikras Seifrim, the way that we are supposed to read Itus Svarim, sometimes there are words in the Chumash in the Torah which are extra, Karin V'like Sevim, where you can have a Kree, the way a word is read, even though that's not the way the word is written, or Ksevim V'like Karin, or we have circumstances the other way around, or they are Halach L'Moshe M'Sinai. So it's a very interesting Machloikis Achroinim. We have words that are Ksevim V'like Karin. They're written in the Torah one way, but that's not the way it's pronounced. So as we just discussed, it's absolutely essential to read the words of the Chumash from inside the Sefer Torah. So the question is, but you're not reading the word the way it's written anyway. It's a Kree and not a Ksiv. So do you have to read that word from looking in the Sefer Torah? Or since you're not reading it the way it's written in the Sefer Torah anyway, you don't have to look into the Sefer Torah. The Prima Gadim says, for such words, you don't have to look into the Ksav. Rav Moshe says, disagrees. He says, the halacha is that if you, every word, as we just quoted Rav Moshe says, every word has to be written from inside the Sefer Torah. And if you don't read it from inside the Sefer Torah, even though you're not pronouncing it the way it's written in the Sefer Torah, it doesn't make a difference. Says the Gemara, so now we mention all these things that are Halach L'Moshe M'Sinai, and the Gemara gives us examples for each one of them. Mikra Seifrim, Eretz, Shemayim, Mitzrayim. There's a difference how to pronounce the Pasuk, these words, where they are in the plus in the pasuk. It makes a difference if they're in the middle of the pasuk or at the end of the pasuk. In the beginning of the pasuk, they're pronounced Eretz Shemayim Mitzrayim, Shemayim a pasach under the mem Mitzrayim, and if it's at the end of the pasuk, it's Oretz. It's Shemayim Mitzrayim. Itus Svarim. We said are words that are added just to make the expression richer. The pasuk says v'sadu lipcha achatavayru. Doesn't have to say achatavayru. The pasuk says teishiv nari tana yom ayso achatelech. Tisoga shivis yom mechutz lamachav achatayosef. Kid mesorim ach nagoinim. All these cases, the word acha are really superfluous. For example, the Torah could have said sadu lipchem, eat, Avraham Avinu said to the malachim, and v'tavayru, and then you leave. Why does it have to say achatavayru? It's only to make it a richer, nicer expression. Tzikoscha, the pasuk says until him, Tzikoscha, kahari kale. It didn't have to say kahari. It could have said hari kale. Just like it says further, mishpotecha toim rabba, that's what it means. Karin, v'lek sevim, there are words that are read but are not written. The word pras that says in Shmuel, the Velechta Lashiv Yod Vanar, it says we read the word pras even though it's not in the Pasuk. The Pasuk says in Shmuel, Ish, the Kesha Ish al Ish Bedvar al Akim. The Pasuk doesn't have the word Ish in it, but we read the word Ish. The Pasuk says in Yirmiyo, Hine Yom and Boim Num Hashem, V'nivna Sa'ir Lazeh. The Pasuk doesn't have the word Boim in it. The Pasuk says in Yirmiyo, Hashmiu al Bavel, Rabim Kaldor He Koshes, Chano Le Sovim al Yehei Lo Pleita. The word law is not in the Pasuk. The Pasuk says in Rus, Hugar Hili, Baya says, S is not in the Pasuk. The Pasuk in Rus says, V'tomele kosher, tomele esa, V'teir agoyim v'task k'chol ha-shitziva chamoysa, that Rus did whatever Naomi, her mother-in-law, said. The Pasuk does not have the word Eli. Eli, another Pasuk in the word Eli in Rus, the word of Asayrim. The Pasuk says, V'tomele sheish asayrim ha-elo, nosli ka'om Eli, al-tovi reikam al-chamasayich, and the word Eli is actually not written in the Pasuk. All of these are examples of Karyan v'loik Sivan. And then the Gemara says, we'll give you examples of Ksivan v'loik Karya. The Pasuk says in Malachim, B'shtachvisi beis roman yislachna Hashem alakecha b'dova azeh. The Pasuk has in it the word na, but we, nun aleph, but we don't pronounce it. The Pasuk in Devarim says, V'zois ha-mitzah achukim mishpatim. It says the word zois, but we don't read that word. The Pasuk says in Yirmiyah, El Yidroich Hadorich Kashtan. We don't read the word Yidroich, second time mentioned in the Pasuk, is not pronounced. The Pasuk says in Yecheskel, Chomish, the past negative. The Pasuk says a past negative, Chomish Meis V'Aba Alfim. We don't read the word Chomish. The Pasuk says in Rus, V'Ate Ke'omnim Ki'im Goyal Anoichi. We don't read the word Im. Halein, all of these are cases, says the Mark Seven of Lekavian. Says the Ma'amar of Acha Bar Ada. But Marava Paschal Adain Psukim with Tlos Psukim. In Eretz Yisrael, this Pasuk is really divided into three separate Psukim. The Pasuk says, V'yom Hashem al Moshe, Hine enochi bo elecho, ba'av ha'onon, ba'av yishma om v'dabri imoch, v'gam b'cho yaminu l'oilom, v'yagiz Moshe's divrei amal Hashem. And they separate into three psukim. The first pasuk says, "V'yoyma Hashem, Al Moshe hine enochi bo elecha ba'ava onan." The second pasuk is, "Ba'ava yishma am bedabri ima v'gam b'cho yaminu l'olam." The third pasuk is, "V'yegid Moshe dvarim al Hashem." So the Mashua says that the reason the pasuk was divided in Eretz Yisrael into three psukim is that there shouldn't be any confusion and how to understand what the Pasuk means, so it's cut into shorter phrases. The Shita says a different reason. He says that we, nowadays, everyone, finishes reading the Chamisha Chumash Torah on an annual basis. But says the Shita, in those days the minig was that in Eretz Yisrael, they finished reading the Chumash once in 3 years. So since they finished reading the Chumash only once in 3 years, they needed more psukim in the Chumash. And that's why they took this one long Pasuk and divided it into three Pasukim, so they should be able to read that Pasuk to have more Pasukim, and they could draw out reading the whole Chamisha Chumash Torah over 3 years.